June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We have this ongoing conversation here on the program on the commandments every day. Another commandment today, you shall not commit adultery. I can tell you one thing, speaking as a man, when I hear this one, my conscience is pricked each and every time. But maybe that's unnecessary. I've been married now for 22 years. We just passed our 22-year mark. And I can honestly say that in those 22 years of marriage, I have been faithful to my wife, at least externally I've been faithful to her. I have never laid a hand on another woman, only to give my mom a hug or one of the old ladies coming out of church. I'll give them a hug, maybe some female friends kind of a thing. But I've kept my nose clean on this one. I really, truly have. It's only by the grace of God, but I've been faithful to my wife. If you were to put a secret camera on me, you wouldn't have caught me doing anything. So am I in the clear? Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. He's associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, and he's co-host of Higher Things Radio. George, welcome back.
Hey, how's it going, Todd?
Well, I don't exactly know how it's going, because if I check my track record by what you could catch on hidden camera, I can honestly say I have not ever been unfaithful to my wife in 22 years. So am I in the clear?
Good for you. Now, you're not in the clear, but good for you. Good for you. This commandment, that we lead a sexually pure and decent life, says the Catechism, and what we say and do. Husbands and wives love and honor each other. You got that last part. But has your tongue always been pure? Have your thoughts always been pure?
Well, it's not even a question of always. I'd have to put it in the category of pretty much never.
Today.
I mean, the 2 hours I spend on the air, George, are an exercise in extreme control.
Well, that's the daily battle of drowning the old man and all his sinful desires. The new man will rise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. I love that you guys, you and Jeff, get me on to talk about this commandment, because I don't use the word that, well, I just don't use a certain word when teaching on this commandment. The previous guest, man, she was using that word all the time. I try to teach on the sixth commandment without ever saying that word, and hopefully it'll come clear which word I'm talking about, because I think that word belongs, when we're in private with, our beloveds. But, so what Issues Etc. means to me is that it puts me on the radio to talk about things that I'm not always comfortable with, but I dare to be Lutheran nevertheless and do it.
That was interesting. He got a plug in for not only Issues Etc., but somehow he managed to get Higher Things in there as well. Very clever, George. Okay, so Jesus picks up this commandment as one.
Right.
He has two that he picks up and reorients, at least to reorient the minds of his hearers. One of is, you shall not kill. But
right.
Also this one, you shall not commit adultery. What does Jesus have to say about the way that we break this commandment?
Oh, he separates it from just the act. The act that you, like you did at the very beginning, checked it off. I haven't done that. Well, that's the thing that we normally do when we justify ourselves before God. Well, I haven't committed murder. I haven't committed adultery. Well, did you hate somebody? Well, then you broke the fifth commandment. Did you look lustfully at someone? Did your thoughts wander? Did you dwell upon how wonderfully blessed that woman was or that man? Well, then you have broken that sixth commandment. It's a thought, it's a word, and it's a deed thing when it comes to the sixth commandment. Our thoughts are stained by our sin, our words are filled with our filth, and our deeds are, they're just dreadful. And not only that, with the sixth commandment, did you help someone and protect someone else from that, doing that outside of the place where the Lord has given for that to be done? Did you help them out? Did you protect them from it? Or did you just kind of wink and nod and say, well, you know, that's the way people go. First you hook up with somebody, and then you try them out, and all that. Ugh. This commandment, it's one of those that if we could keep this commandment, we could keep them all. If we could keep the first commandment, we could keep them all. We could keep the tenth commandment, we could keep them all. But if we could keep the sixth commandment, we could keep them all. And it all stems from our unbelief, as I get going. It all stems from our unbelief. If we truly believed that we had a Heavenly Father who loved us and cared for us in Christ, we would not look. We wouldn't take that second look. We wouldn't have that wandering thought. We wouldn't use our computers for porn or our eyes for evil. Oh, this commandment does me in.
Then let's clear something away right away, and that is, some might mistakenly believe that this commandment, because it uses the term adultery, is strictly speaking only to the married.
Right. So I get to do what I want before I get married. That thing, which is reserved for marriage, is reserved. Well, God has given it to us. See, this. I'll back up and use gift language. Gift is much better. He has designed us, the Lord, our Heavenly Father, made us to be in relationships, hardwired us to be fruitful and multiply. And all those desires that we have a place, and that place is marriage. I draw a ring on the chalkboard for my catechumens. It's inside the ring is everything which belongs between a man and a woman. Outside the ring, well, we get sin. When we behave like we're inside the ring, when we're outside the ring, we call that either fornication or adultery, both of which are sins. The reason why adultery is the catch-all in the commandment is because every Jew was expected, required to be married. Luther says that in the Large Catechism. And so any sort of immorality would occur out in adultery. But that doesn't mean that fornication and other forms of sexual immorality aren't part of this commandment. They most definitely are. Because whenever we treat our bodies as if they belong to ourselves rather than to our Heavenly Father, well, then we're committing adultery. Idolatry, adultery, they go together. They are a tree, you know.
Okay, anyway. So what is this? You've raised a question in my mind. There's a place in Scripture where St. Paul says, you know, all these kinds of sins that you could name are committed by a man outside his body, but sexual immorality,
right.
I think he uses a term there. This is the sin that a man commits against his own body.
Yes.
What's he talking about?
Well, it's against his own humanity. Oh, I just had a revelation today. Whew, light went on. Light shines in my mind every now and again. Somebody flips the switch on, or my Heavenly Father's. This is a sin which is a sin against our own humanity. I want you to consider this. We think that our human nature is where we make mistakes. It's where we sin. I'm only human. To err is human. We forget that that's not the way we were created. We were created by our Heavenly Father, perfect. Pastor, I'm only human. Well, no, your sin is fallen human. You want to know about your humanity, take a look at Jesus. Learn from Jesus what it means to be human. And so when the apostle says, you know, this sin is a sin, when we join with our body was designed, our members, your bodies are members of Christ. Did you not know that? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Well, in that thing which belongs only in marriage, the two become one. So when you have that one flesh talk, we're not talking about, you know, the songs, you know, the two become one. No, we're talking about what goes on between a man and a woman when they get married. Not with unity candles, not with symbols, but in actual case. And when you do that outside the place where God has given you to do that, you take the body he has given you and use it in a way that it wasn't designed for. And it does damage to our bodies. It just does. The images don't go away. The scars don't leave us. They just don't. And so the apostle says, flee from that. Every other sin a man commits, he commits outside of his body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. And then he nails it with, where he says, do you not know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit? See, the temple for the Holy Spirit is not about drug use. It's not about, that language is not about being athletic. It's about the sixth commandment. Your body was something that was made and then redeemed by God. Honor that maker and redeemer with how you use your body. And that which he did and made in you, those desires that he made and worked in you for the procreation of children, I have three of them, happy with every one of them. If the Lord would give me 10 of them, I would have 10. He's given me three. And he gave me three inside the place where he designed for that to be, in marriage. So, that's it. This is something that goes against our humanity. He has given us marriage for this purpose, for that place, for being fruitful and multiplying. It's a gift. It's not icky. That which is done in marriage is pure and holy. It's only when we remove that, twist it, tweak it, objectify it, make it a scratch that we an itch that we scratch, that it becomes evil and twisted and perverted.
It's
and
Tuesday
senseless too.
Tuesday afternoon, June the 9th, we're talking about the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. I do want to know why he won't use the sex word, but we'll find out on the other side of the break. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our phone number on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-IE. If you'd like to call us or email us anonymously, we'd be happy to honor that as well. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. We have a link to Higher Things Radio. He's the co-host of Higher Things Radio. Under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mary had a little lamb. How amazing.
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the children's rhyme book, A is for Adam.
You may be aware that newborn lambs are covered with a densely packed, fine curled wool. And as the newborn moves around and its wool dries, the wool unsprings. It forms a thin layer of curly wool. In fact, it's spring-like. It traps air and forms an insulating blanket. Now the new wool begins to grow immediately, but it's never as dense and finely curled as the wool at birth. The wool is also rich in the natural oil called lanolin, which waterproofs it and adds to its insulation. You see, God provides a pre-planned cover for the lambs, and in cold, wet weather, with no shelter in the fields, the lamb knows it can take refuge from the elements next to an adult sheep. Somebody somewhere thought about this and wrote the nursery rhyme about Mary's little lamb and its fleece. All of this design required a designer, the creator God of Genesis, who sent his son to die on a cross. He was our sacrificial lamb.
If you call us today, we'll send you a CD of 45 of Ken Ham's radio programs, featuring a wide variety of topics on the accuracy and authority of the Bible. For some great listening, order the CD when you make a donation of any amount today to our nonprofit ministry. The number is 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's toll-free, 888-89-ANSWERS.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. or call in number 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. George, okay.
I was just jamming to Brittany.
Oh, you were having some fun with that. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's why we have it there, just to amuse our guests on the way in and out of those breaks. Let's talk about pornography, because 20 years ago it would not have been a subject that was even mentioned in Christian circles very often, except, you know, to protest the brown paper wrapper stores or something like that. But now it's all the rage in conversation. But there are those who would say one of two things. Either it's harmless, it's just images, deal with that one first, and then the person who says, hey, it's better than going out and actually performing the act with someone.
Oh,
first one first.
It's not harmless. It places us into a world outside of where God is our Heavenly Father, and it gives us imagery and I'll just say imagery that they stimulate us. But they harm us. It affects our relationships. It affects our intimacy. I don't know how many young or older folks that have come in and said, Pastor, I have a problem with this particular sin, and it's pornography, that it's affecting their relationship. It affects their intimacy. It affects their ability to be intimate with their spouses, with their beloveds, and it's something that doesn't go away. So the idea that it's harmless is, well, not helpful. The idea that it's better than going out and messing around with the prostitute, while humanly speaking, yes, your Heavenly Father doesn't play that game. He gave you your body to be used and loved. To be given to. He gave you your body to be given to your spouse. Your body. I said earlier that your body was the Lord's, but your body is not your own. The husband's body is not his body. It's his wife's. The wife's body is not her body. It's her husband's. That's 1 Corinthians again. And so your body is not your own. All right, your body was bought by the Lord and then given to you to be given to your spouse. And so that's just not the place where you are to be using that which was given to you. The place where he gave for that to be done is in the estate of marriage. Ah, and then it's perfect and holy and without spot or blemish. You see, the thing we should talk about when it comes to the sixth commandment is to step and look at Jesus and his bride. Jesus' bride is the church. That's when Paul starts talking about how wives and husbands go at it in Ephesians 5, he's really talking about the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her, that he might present her to himself holy and pure, without spot or any sort of blemish. So you just see our Heavenly Father receiving the bride of Christ and Jesus, saying, this is my bride. She's holy and pure without any sort of wrinkle or anything, which is the opposite of the way we treat women today. You know, where we find fault with them or add to them in some sort of way, or as the previous wonderful lady said, objectify them. Or they objectify themselves because they're so desiring to be loved, as they were made to be loved. And so let's take a look at Jesus and his bride, the church, and how he goes about loving his bride, washing her sins away, loving her, caring for her, giving up his life for her. That's why I always tell the girls, if that boy wants that from you, there's two different that's there, but if that boy wants that from you, then ask him whether he'll give up his life for you. And if he'll give up his life for you, then he can wait for marriage. If he won't give up his life for you, if he's the one that's going to throw you under the bus or push you forward and say, shoot her first, well, then he's not worthy of your hand. God will give you somebody worthy of your hand. And to the boys, I say, why would you turn her into an object? Like they said, like your car, but I say like your iPod or iPhone or your computer. This is a person for whom Christ died. You're going to love her as Christ loved the church. When Jesus loves the church, he loves her. He gives his life for her. Step in front of the bullets for her, boys. And that means you can wait until the place where the Lord gives you for that to go on.
What about the use of coarse sexual language? Or usually, I mean, if you turn on the sitcoms any night of the week, it's going to be a string of sexual jokes, which we find especially funny. I mean, we really do, if we're honest with ourselves.
We love things which push the line and draw the line right next to adultery, and we push our feet ever so closely. We flirt with the sin. We love to flirt with sin. See how close we can get. So the next question is, well, is that a sin, Pastor? When I do that, is it a sin? Is that yes. Yes. Because if you truly hate evil, you don't come anywhere near it. It's because you don't believe that you have a heavenly Father who loves you and gave up his Son for you that you want to escape that close to it. And so we justify ourselves with our language and our jokes. The apostle says, don't even let that language be near the saints. It shouldn't even be around them. But yet we love our jokes, and they're somehow less than the sixth commandment, you know, full-blown adultery. And humanly speaking, they are, but yet not to our heavenly Father, who desires to save us. It's all part of our fallen humanity. We weren't designed for those jokes. We weren't designed for these sins. We were built to be in relationship with one another in a specific place. A man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. You know, there's that part right after creation where Adam kind of like either says a poem to his wife. He says that, you know, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken from a man. Ah, I'll leave my mom and dad and cleave to my wife and my, you know, the two will become one flesh. Well, he says that poem. It's not until the fall that he throws her under the bus. That woman, the one you gave me, God, you're the problem, she's the problem. That sin and that sort of thing, objectifying the whole thing, comes into play. But in the beginning, and that's where Jesus goes, when he talks about the sixth commandment, he goes back to the beginning. Adam was singing to his bride Eve, and Eve was receiving it as a gift from the Lord.
Oh, there are those who have observed the church's stance on matters sexual for a long time, and the church has wrongly gained the reputation of being prudish and unwilling to discuss sex and making it a foreboding subject. And many Christians even buy into this myth. Lately, we've had some prominent, not so prominent Christian preachers decide that what we really need to be doing is bringing God into the bedroom or bringing the bedroom into church or something like that. So they've done entire sermon series, I'm sure you've heard about them,
yeah,
on sex, and they've talked about having the best sex ever, and they've talked
right
about 40 days of sex or how many days of sex they think they can sustain and all of these things. And not only do they're killing two birds with one stone, they think. They're being really, really relevant, they think. And they're also, they would say, putting sex back where God intends it to be and letting God kind of tell us how to do it. Though their words, not mine. What do you make of all this?
I leave a marriage bed pure and undefiled. I don't use that word, the one that I keep not using, because I want to make a point to make sure that when I talk about that, I talk about marriage. So that when I replace that word, the one that we're so used to hearing when it comes to this subject, and the one we hear all the time, with that which belongs in marriage. I do that for young people. I do that for people. For the youth, it becomes a joke, because pastor won't say that word. But I hope it's used as a teaching device in order to understand that belongs in marriage. Playing games with that and drawing attention to that, it just seems like marketing. I would rather talk about Christ and his bride, the church. We'll find out what it means to be husbands and wives from him. There's nobody who can be less crass than me. I mean, I was in premarital counseling with my wife the first question that comes out of the pastor's mouth usually is, you know, well, you've done premarital counseling. Pastor Wilkin, it's well, why do you guys want to be married? And my wife gave great answers about how much she loved me and how wonderful I was. Yeah, blinders. It was great. I had her so fooled. She loves me and she cares for me and all that. And he looks at me and he says, well, what about you? And I said, it's been 2.5 years of dating. She's a beautiful woman, and I think it's about time for us to. And my wife hit me so hard, it still hurts. So I can be crass, too. It's just there that belongs specifically. And I'm not being a prude. I'm just saying that belongs specifically between a man and a woman.
Let's take a break right here. We're talking about the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for June is the Lutheran Study Bible from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out all about it and pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about the Issues Etc. book of the month for June, the Lutheran Study Bible, at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, how did Christ fulfill this commandment in our place? You shall not commit adultery.
Your cheating heart will tell on you.
Here are some features of the Lutheran Study Bible. Almost 27,000 uniquely Lutheran study notes, more than 2,000 application notes and prayers for every part of the Bible, 120 full or half-page maps, charts, and diagrams. You'll even find law and gospel application notes, center column references, and quotes from the Church Fathers. Check out the Lutheran Study Bible at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or pre-order the Lutheran Study Bible. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan; Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio; St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois; Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana; Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri; Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin; Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa; Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri; and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click promote. Find out about the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes on the commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Pastor George Borghardt is our guest, associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, co-host of Higher Things Radio. 1-877-623-MY-IE or talk back at issuesetc.org. What do you say to someone who is really struggling with this one? You mentioned a little bit before about some of these sins associated, but someone who says, this is the sexual sins are besetting me, and my conscience is constantly troubling me over sins of this nature.
I would first tell him that they were forgiven. He has redeemed you. A lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all your sins, especially that one. Your death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. it's going to be the goodness of God which draws us out of this, not self-control. You're fighting against yourself if you think that you can build up enough steam to overcome these temptations. The way out of this is the gospel. The way out of this is to understand that, okay, this is a gift from God, but it belongs in a certain place. So we flee from immorality. We like Joseph ran from that sin, but like we would run from, like I would run from, like I would run from an Ole Miss fan. I would just run away. I'm an LSU fan. I run away from Ole Miss fans. I would flee from immorality. In all seriousness, flee. We're back to prudence. You said it in your an hour ago when you were talking about abortion. You were talking about godly sort of intellect and godly sense. When the Proverbs talk about this sin, they talk about this sin being one in which we lack sense. Because if we were to sit down and think about what we're doing, we would say, okay, I'm going to make a list of things that are good about this and a list of things that are bad about this. Well, when it comes to adultery, the list of bad is like huge, and then our flesh draws us in. So the answer is to flee to the gospel. It's more Jesus. It's to understand that we've been forgiven. It's to pray to God for mercy. It's to change our. I mean, then we can do what the world says. You know, what doctors say and stuff like that, which is to avoid being our free time, and the Proverbs talk about that too. Make use of our time in godly ways to, as the scriptures say, redeem our time because the days are short. Or as St. Paul says, to grab every thought and make it captive to Christ. All of those things, though, around, in, with, and I guess under, the Lord's gifts, His Word, His remembering our baptism, more and more of His sacrament, fleeing to the place where that sin makes us so guilty that we don't want to go. Have you ever noticed that, Todd? That sin makes us so guilty we don't want to go to church. We're ashamed. Where church is the very cure, and not church in and of itself, but the gifts that are given in church, which enliven, sanctify, which do for us what Christ does for His bride, washes her sins away, calls her holy, and says, mine. That's what I say to people who are struggling with that sin.
Did Christ ever commit adultery? We tend to think of Christ as asexual.
He was tempted in every way that we were, yet He didn't fall into sin. So He was tempted, as we are, with every sin that we can think of, including the ones that Jeff said just to kind of rattle me before I even came on, the sins that we don't talk about in public, the sins that we do by ourselves, the sins that we do with others. He was tempted with all of those, yet He did not sin. What is interesting is how He, now, better than that, is how He dealt with that sin. The woman is caught in adultery. In the very act, the text says, they drag her before Him. He's writing something in the ground. They throw Him down. Now, I don't know where the guy is in all of this. Do you ever know where the guy is, Todd? Because it takes two. Well, he got off scot-free. They drag her there, throw her before. Law says to stone her. His response is to say, let he who is without sin, he among you who is without sin, cast the first stone. And who left first? Do you remember?
It's the older ones.
The older ones, the guys like me. They go, oh, yeah, I remember this. And they drop their stones, and then soon they're all gone. And he's there with the lady, and he looks up and he says, woman, where are your accusers? And he doesn't judge her. He says, he forgives her. Go and sin no more. You're free, which is the way, which is the biggest cure for the sins of the sixth commandment, is confession and absolution, coming clean about what your fallen humanity has done. Your fallen humanity has betrayed you, and you've done the thing which you could not believe that you did, and you confess it confess it to your pastor, confess it to your friends, confess it to someone, and hear the Lord's absolution. That's and then be freed from that, because that's slavery. You were a slave, not a slave anymore. You have been redeemed. Redeemed your body too by the blood of the Lamb.
So Jesus knows what it is to be tempted to the lust of the eyes?
Yes. Knows what it is to be tempted in the body. Knows what it is to be tempted with the tongue. Knows what it is to every sin. And for all of those sins, he did not succumb, not even once. Instead, he paid the price for all the times in which we have failed to have a pure tongue, have a pure heart, have a pure mind, have a pure body. That's what goes on the cross, where he dies for all our sin, not a one of them left out, especially the one that we are trying to cover up, kind of like a cat does his poo in the cat box. That's the sin that needs to come out and be confessed and then forgiven.
Pastor George Borghardt is associate pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's co-host of Higher Things Radio. Thank you very much for being our guest.
You guys rock.
Thanks. That's nice. I wouldn't have said it in those terms, but I will do our best. We certainly will. Folks, we just heard from a listener today in Las Vegas who's requesting at his church's voters meeting tonight, this very night, that his congregation join the Issues Etc. 300. That's good news for us, because the Issues Etc. 300, we consider it the backbone of not only the current support of Issues Etc., but the future of this radio program as well. If you want to find out how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. too, go and make that same request that this listener in Las Vegas is doing just tonight with his congregation. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a flyer there under the promote page that you can take to your congregation. Ask them to join the Issues Etc. 300. It's $1,000 a year in your congregation's annual budget. That's not a lot when you consider the whole budget. The Issues Etc. 300, issuesetc.org. Click promote. You'll find the flyer there that explains everything about the Issues Etc. 300. Tomorrow on the program, Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief will be our guest. He's going to join us here in the studio. We're going to talk about the commandment, you shall not steal. Another one of those commandments that people will remember if they remember any of the Ten Commandments. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. The problem with this commandment is it gets personal. All of them do, but this one strikes really at the very core of who we are as created beings. We are created in this body, and this body is built by God with an entire mechanism oriented toward procreation. When he gave the command, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, that command built into us, hardwired into us, even as fallen creatures, the impulse to procreate. That's how we might think of it biblically. The biologist is going to tell you that it's simply a desire to reproduce. So much of our lives is oriented around this. It permeates our humor, our music, movies, stories, books. More than half the books that have been written, if you took this element of our existence as human beings out of the equation, they wouldn't have been written. Movies wouldn't be made. Songs wouldn't be written or sung. I think we can fairly say, if we just look objectively at the human species, it's a big part of who we are. But it isn't who we are in its essence. It's a gift of God given to us, one that's intended to be enjoyed. And he gave us, along with that gift, the very means by which it is to be enjoyed, properly used, and received. Marriage. The two go together. And you know, within the bonds of marriage, and when we talk about the bonds of marriage, we're not talking about some sort of a sterile agreement between two people. We're talking about another gift of God that he gave already at the beginning to our first parents. Within the bonds of marriage, all the songs that are written and the movies that are watched and the books that have been written all take on a different cast, don't they? Then we can enjoy this thing as the good gift it is. It's written into us, it's hardwired into us, and it's a gift of God within marriage. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.